הנה דיברנו על עתו מן ההכנוע ומן הבושס. Till now we were talking about the negatives of being subdued and embarrassed, and when you do mitzvahs or whatever, that you're ministering to the Ribbono Shel Olam and you feel inadequate. In the Daber Ato Minyan HaKoved, that will speak on the other side of when a person does a mitzvah or learns Torah or davens, he should do it in a way that brings honor to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I do it in an honorable way. In a Kovet HaMitzvah V'Yikara, right, the honor given to a mitzvah and showing that it's precious. Kvar hizirunu alav chazal, right? Va'amru zakeli v'anvei. So first of all, Mishus Hisharim learns that this mitzvah, hider mitzvah, is noel afon of a mitzvah. Do mitzvahs in a appealing way, an aesthetically appealing way. Tzitzis noel, have nice tzitzis. Tefillin noel, nice tefillin. Sefer Torah noel, nice Sefer Torah. Lulav noel, beautiful lulav. V'chein amru hider mitzvah ad shlish, that you have to add, if you can do a mitzvah minimally, right, you have the chiyuv to add onto the minimum a third, which really means a quarter, because it's a third of what's it called, milavar. So more to do the mitzvah in a nicer way. So if you can buy a minimal esrog, right, you mechuyev to buy a little bit better one, up to a quarter of the total value, and after that already you can volunteer to give more if you want, if you have the money, but you're not mechuyev. Ad kan mishalo, mikan ve'el mishalo kodesh baruch hu. More than the quarter, you can use miser money, but till the quarter, it's your responsibility. Okay. Haridashiv sosayim zalboru milo, she'ein dai basos ha-mitzvah levad. It's not enough just to do the mitzvah. Elishetzorich lechabdo lahadra. There's a separate thing of honoring the mitzvah and enhancing it and making it beautiful. Now, beautiful means aesthetically beautiful. You should have a mitzvah that's aesthetically nice. Nice can mean that it's appealing to the eye, right? It has beauty to it. But beauty also means that it's made in a proper way. It's done properly. For instance, Rashi says in Tzachim that not eating Erev Pesach, so you'll eat matzah on an empty stomach with an appetite, is hider mitzvah. Doing the mitzvah in a more proper way, in a more doesn't make the mitzvah any more beautiful. The matzah doesn't change because of that, but the mitzvah of eating the matzah is enhanced by having an appetite. That enhancement is called hider mitzvah. So making what's it called? For instance, tzitzis. It says that it's hider mitzvah to make sure that all the strings are equally long. Right, not some of this way, some of that way. Doesn't it more beautiful like that? It's just more, or it's more appealing. It's just more proper. It looks more. What's the word? That you paid more attention to doing it properly. So again, it doesn't make the tzitzis any more beautiful, but it makes them. Can't think of the word. It's done in a way that looks
special.
What?
Special?
No, it's not. It's not anything special about it. It's just done. That's what?
Refined.
What? Who? It's mechubit. It's more mechubit because it looks like it was done with intention and.
Refined,
more yekish.
More yekish. Oh, okay, never mind. Hey,
that's the word. Yeah. Okay. So that ulahok hotzi. Why would one think that maybe that's not important? Mishalahokalasmo, somebody who uses as an excuse. Now, he doesn't want to make the mitzvah more appealing or take more time to make sure that it's done really in a way that you're makbid to do it really properly, right? Yomer ein hakovod elav nei adam. I'm mispatim behavar lemeila. It's very subjective. This only is covered because that's how people see it. So what do you care about people? You want the Rabbanu Shel Olam to know your mitzvah is nice. So what do you care if it looks pretty or not? What does the Rabbanu Shel Olam care if it's a pretty mitzvah or not a pretty mitzvah? God's beyond all these things. He's way above these kind of things. As long as you do the mitzvah properly, right? What does the Rabbanu Shel Olam care if it's pretty, appealing, right? Done, looking, you know, what's it called, that you paid attention to the details in a detailed way. You yotze the mitzvah, right? Why does that have to look appealing? The Rabbanu Shel Olam is called the God of honor. Not for his sake, for our sake. Right? The basic idea is, you know, the purpose of hither mitzvah, right? Let me speak a little bit about hither mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, zekeli vandeyu. First of all, it's a shaila whether that is a mitzvah from the Torah or it's only rabbinic. From this Mesilas Shesharim, it's clear that he holds it's only rabbinic. He says, Sivu Chachamim. Okay? He didn't say the rabbis taught, but they commanded. That means that it's a mitzvah the rabbi, right? I mean, our Torah, they only learn from Zekeli Vandeyu. It's a dinder rabban, it's a smachta. It's not a rabban. There are those who hold it's minat Torah. That hidden mitzvah is a Torah. We learn it from that pasuk. It's from the Torah. Second thing, what is exactly the mitzvah of hidden mitzvah? Is it a separate mitzvah, or it's a condition in every mitzvah? Meaning, when I make a nice Sefer Torah, right, or a nice Hanukkah menorah, okay, am I fulfilling the mitzvah of Hanukkah in a nicer way? And the Torah said, well, Hanukkah is not a good example because it's only a mitzvah of the Rabbanan, but whatever, the rabbis or the Torah said, we want you to do a mitzvah. There's another condition that we'd like you to do it in an appealing, aesthetically appealing way. So it's a separate condition in the mitzvah. You yotze the mitzvah if you don't fulfill that condition, but if you do, you have an extra added enhancement of that mitzvah. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is that it's not an enhancement of the mitzvah itself. The mitzvah you do doesn't have to be aesthetically beautiful, whatever. But making the mitzvah aesthetically beautiful is a separate mitzvah to itself. You're mekayim not the mitzvah of Hanukkah menorah in a nicer way. You're mekayim two mitzvahs. The mitzvah of Hanukkah menorah and you're mekayim the mitzvah of Zekeli Vandeyu. There's a separate mitzvah of Zekeli Vandeyu that you should aesthetically enhance Avodas Hashem. So whenever you're doing something in service of Hashem, try to find a way to make it aesthetically beautiful. And then you'll be mekayim the mitzvah of Zekeli Vandeyu. You're not doing the mitzvah of Hanukkah in a nicer way. But along with the mitzvah of Hanukkah, you're also fulfilling another mitzvah of Zekeli Vandeyu. There are differences. Whether it's an enhancement of the main mitzvah or it's a separate mitzvah itself. Now's not time to go into what the differences are, but there are differences. In addition to that, there's a shaila exactly what that means. Right? That this mitzvah of beautifying God, Zekeli Vandeyu, I'm beautifying God. Now, Gemara says, you can't beautify God. But you can beautify godliness. So when you're involved in something that represents God, make it beautiful for the Rabbanu Shel Olam. So you're beautifying God. The idea is do the mitzvah in an aesthetically beautiful way for the sake of people that they'll honor the mitzvah more. Which we'll get to in a second, this idea that something that's aesthetically beautiful, right, brings more honor to the mitzvah, even though it's only an external thing. What's the difference between that? The following shaila. You have a gartel, okay? And it is silk and embroidered on one end, on one side, and the other side just plain material, okay? Which side do you put towards the Sefer Torah? So if the idea is to make the mitzvah aesthetically beautiful, so then you have to put it to the side that people see, because that's, you're now making this Sefer Torah more beautiful by wrapping it in something that's embroidered and nice silk or whatever. But if the idea is to beautify God, except the way to beautify God, give him that honor of showing him beauty, then the nice part should be towards the Sefer Torah. Right? You're putting the nice part next to the Sefer Torah, right? not how people see you, but what you are portraying and what you're giving towards the mitzvah. So then the main thing is not how people see it. Many times it's the same thing. What's it called? The mitzvah itself. It's how people see it and how you beautify it. But here you have a situation where how people see it is only one way, and what you put towards the Sefer Torah is the other way. So which one is more important? How people see it, or the honor you give to the Torah? So if the idea of Hidur Mitzvah is honoring God, and it seems to me that's the idea. It's a covet for the Rabbanu Shalom. Right? This is another way of learning that, that it's a covet for the Rabbanu Shalom when people see that the mitzvah is mechubet. But the Lashon he uses more that you're what's it called? There's an idea of Hisnoi Lefon of the mitzvahs. You do the mitzvah in a way that's appealing to people, because that brings honor to the mitzvah. Or honor God by making the mitzvah an appealing mitzvah towards God. You can't make God look beautiful, but you can make his mitzvahs look beautiful. But it's not for the sake of people who are seeing it. It's more to honor the mitzvah itself. That would be a nafkaminas and machlokas like that. Which side you should put towards the Sefer Torah? The beautiful side, or the beautiful side should be something people see. Now this concept, what's the idea? Why isn't the excuse of the person, the Mesillas Yesharim says, you looking for an excuse not to have to pay any extra money or to be careful that the mitzvah should be beautiful? Because what does God need this for? And what's the importance? So with that, I want to go to something that we've spoken about a few times, not in this year necessarily, and that is the following. The Torah says that the Aron should be inlaid with gold and outlaid with gold. Gold on the outside and gold on the inside. And we learn from that a Talmud Chacham should be gold on the inside and gold on the outside. Okay, Tocho Kibaro. Okay. However, since the Chachamim used the Lashon Tocho Kibaro, it would have seemed that the outside comes first. You should try to make the inside the same as the outside, which means the outside comes first, and then you try to accommodate the inside similarly to that. Okay? B'chara, it should be just the opposite. In Avodas Hashem, the main thing is the inside. A person should work first on his inside. And then he should work on making the outside appear like that. Right? For instance, they say that in these Baal Tshuva yeshivas, okay, in many of them, they discourage Bachrim from starting to dress, you know, with suits and hats and white shirts and ties, right, before they're ready for that. First work on becoming a Ben Torah. And then, what's it called when you're Taka? Ben Torah, then dress like one. But if you dress like one too early, right, then you're going to think that you're a Ben Torah and you really have nothing on the inside, just a shell. We'll see in 1 second that maybe there's another way of looking at it too. But the main thing should be the inside, not the outside. The outside is just an expression of the inside, but the main thing is working on the inside. So why did Chazal say the opposite? That you should make the inside like the outside, tocho kibaro, and therefore it seems like the outside comes first. So I always give the story they had in Miami of a woman who grew up in a more modern Orthodox, very modern Orthodox environment. They were very here I think in Israel they call it, you know, dati light. That's the, in other words, you know, you keep mitzvahs but nothing too serious. You keep kosher as long as it, you know, says kosher from somebody, it's okay. You know, we makbid, you know, what kind of hechsher or whatever. In fact, even if it has a K on the label somewhere, even in the name of the product, it's probably okay. So that's, you know, light. That's the kind of environment she grew up in. Shabbos, you know, we don't drive, we don't answer the phone, but Hilchos Shabbos they never heard of, and, you know, weren't makbid on halachas of Shabbos, just, you know, Shabbos, a day of rest, and we don't drive, don't turn on the lights, but otherwise not too much more. And tznius for sure, the mother didn't cover her hair, and didn't dress halachically tznius. This is the home this woman grew up in. And she pretty much, when she was a member of my kehillah, she pretty much was like that also. then she had a child, first child, and somehow she realized that now she's a mother, and really maybe she should be a better influence on her child. Maybe she wants her child to be more than she was, and he's not going to be unless, you know, unless she... So she started to get more frum. And she did it, learned, and slowly but surely. So first she improved the kashrus of her house, even what's it called, kasher the house, and what's it called, because they weren't so sure if everything they used was okay, and they started using only really good products, and being very makbid on the milchik, shleishik, everything. And then it went on to Shabbos, and they started learning Hilchus Shabbos, and more, and her husband went along with this. And eventually the house became much more, what's it called, observant. And I was guiding her in this all along. And then, after she reached these two levels of Shabbos and Kashrus, so I told her, I think the next level you're ready for, and that is Tznius. That, you know, if you're really going to be makbid on halacha, you have to start dressing according to halacha too. And in those days, in Miami, very few married women covered their hair. I think it's changed now, even that community now, pretty much they cover their hair, right, one way or another. But then it was the pretty much, there are still communities, modern Orthodox communities in America, that the women don't cover their hair. And most of the women in the community, married women, did not cover their hair. Who was the exceptions? The Rebbetzin, the teachers, Clay Kodesh, their wives covered their hair, maybe one or two other women, you know, the frumis of the community. So this woman said to me, I can't do that. Why? I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to look like a Rebbetzin when inside I don't feel yet that I'm ready for that. Because it's going to be hypocritical. People are going to say, you dress like a Rebbetzin, but you're not really yet, you know, on that level. When I feel like I'm on that level, then I'll start dressing accordingly. So I told her, you know what you can be compared to? Somebody who comes to shul on Simchas Torah, and he says, I don't really feel happy. So if I get up and dance, I'm a hypocrite. Because people think I'm happy, you know, with the Torah, and I'm not really that happy. So I'm going to sit here and contemplating being happy. And as soon as I'm happy, I'm going to get up and dance. You got to sit until Tisha B'Av. Right? How do you get happy? Dance. You dance, the emotions create emotions. That's the world we live in. We live in a physical world. What arouses us to various emotions is motions, going through the motions. So therefore, I told her, if you're going to dress unsneistic, you're never going to feel sneistic. If you start dressing sneistic, you'll eventually feel like that. Right? Doing things is what affects a person. That's how you, that's all the Torah is like that. Doing physical things that are supposed to engender ideas and beliefs and standards and values or whatever. You go through the motions, that leads to the emotions. That's the way it is. That a hypocrite is somebody who doesn't want to get to that goal, who wants to just put on a show, right? That's a hypocrite. But somebody who wants to get there, except I'm in the process of trying to get there. I don't really feel like that now, but I want to get there, and therefore I'm going through the motions. That's not a hypocrite. That's the way the Torah life is. So, and therefore it may be, even in these Baal Teshuva yeshivas, there comes at a point where putting on the uniform will help the person be more of a Ben Torah than put on the uniform too. But if you're putting on the uniform just to make people think that you're a Ben Torah, and you're really not trying to get there, you just decide that you want to look like a Ben Torah, that's not proper. So therefore, Tocho Kibaro. Therefore, the external is important, because it generates a feeling of feelings towards what you're doing. And the way that we feel is through our senses. You can't get, and what's it called, those feelings without it going through the physical side of a person. You want to be simcha nyantav, eat meat, drink wine. That gives you simcha. Right? If you just contemplate simcha, we're not geared in this physical world for just ethereal, right, thought to generate it. You need something to get you moving. That's the physical things in the world. So therefore, there's an inyan of what's it called, of beauty. because seeing a beautiful mitzvah will help you to put you in the mood of respecting that mitzvah more. Right? It's true. The beautiful Hanukkah menorah doesn't make the menorah any more kosher or any more significant, but it relays its significance to you in a way that you'll be mechabed that mitzvah a lot more if it's something that's appealing to you aesthetically than if it looks like a piece of garbage. So there is that inyan, but there's another inyan too. That is, it says, what's it called? But the Torah doesn't say that. The Torah says just the opposite. The Torah says that tzipiso so zohav tohar mi bayis umichutz itzapenu. First, put the gold on the inside, then the gold on the outside. So the Torah says first the gold on the inside, then the gold on the outside. The rabbis described it as tocho kibaro, make the inside like the outside, which already exists. Mashma that the outside starts first. I always like to say that there's three levels. The Torah says that tzipiso oso zahav tahar, you should put gold on it, that means on the outside. And then mibayis, on the inside. And then bachutz, and again on the outside. And that's exactly how they made the aron. Rashi said it took three boxes. A small box of gold, a medium-sized box of wood, and a bigger box of gold. And they first put the wooden box inside the middle box of gold. So now the wooden box, right, is now they put the wooden box inside the bigger box of gold. So now the gold is on the outside of the wood. So it's covered with gold on the outside. The outside came first. Then they put the golden box inside the smaller golden box inside the medium-sized wooden box. And now the aron is covered with gold on the inside. So the first they had the outside, then the inside. What's missing? The rim. If you look down on it, you'll see a sandwich. Now they have to put gold on the outside of the rim to cover up the wood. So it's again on the outside. So those are the three things. First outside, then inside, and then again on the outside. So what's these three things? So we said, the outside starts because in order to generate feelings, emotions, you have to go through motions. That's what we are in this physical world, that's the way it has to be. Once you have those emotions, though, so one would think that that's it. He doesn't need the physical anymore. Now you've reached those emotions, it doesn't have to be appealing, it doesn't have to be pretty, you don't have to dance, whatever. You know, you've danced. You've gotten yourself to feel simcha. You ate your meat and you drank your wine. You feel simchas yantif. Okay, that's it. You don't need to eat meat and drink wine anymore. You don't have to dance anymore. No. There's still an inyan now, again, to express it externally. Why? Because the emotions are more concrete when you express them in a concrete way. In other words, simcha is more simcha when you're dancing. You're more besimcha. It leads you to simcha. But even when you reach that level of simcha, the simcha itself is enhanced by putting it into a physical thing. There's a Ramban. Doesn't sound like a Ramban. Sounds like a Chassidish thing. But I can never really find this Ramban. But the Sfasemis says there is such a Ramban in his Perish on the Aseres HaDibros, which is a separate work, not his Perish on the Chumash. He had a special drasha on the Aseres HaDibros, and in there he says the following. It says in Shir HaShirim, don't arouse love for God or any other emotion that's purely, you know, what's it called, an ethereal emotion, until you put it into some chafetz. Put it into something concrete. Don't leave it floating in the air. You have a feeling of love for God, express it in a concrete way, because that makes it more real. And it's not only because we happen to live in a physical world, so we're bound by the physical, and what makes an impression on us is what we see, what we hear, what we smell, right? Our five senses. The Sefer HaYikarim says even a Moshe Rabbeinu is more affected by what he actually sees than what he knows. It says Moshe Rabbeinu, God told him exactly what was happening blow by blow by the Chet HaEgel when he was up on the mountain, what the people were doing or whatever. He didn't break the luchos. He went down, when he saw it, he broke the luchos. Not because he doubted what God said, It was as real to him up there as it was down there. But what moves a human being who's a physical human being is what he sees. So he wasn't moved to, in addition to that, he wanted breaking the luchos to make an impression on Klal Yisrael. If they would have known he broke the luchos, would not be the same thing as them seeing him break the luchos. So he waited for them to see it. But he wasn't moved to do it until he saw it himself. Works both ways. So, what makes an impression on us, what's real to us, is what's in the physical world, what's five senses. But it's more than that. The Rav Moshe Cordoviro says that the neshamos in Gan Eden look forward to Tchias HaNesim, when they'll be back in a body, right, as much as we look forward to Mashiach. Because a soul in Gan Eden without a body can't really express its Avodas Hashem, all the feelings or whatever, as good as when it's in a body and it can express it through the body. That's more concrete. So it's the ideal. It's not just that Nebuch, we happen to be in a physical world, so this is the way it is. But that's the ideal. Okay, Lamaisa, give me enough to digest, but next week I want to go into this idea a little bit more in detail, right? And speak about what Olam Haba is and Tchias HaMethim or whatever, and how it brings out this point that since we are physical beings, and even it's ideal to be a physical being, even Lasid Lavo, according to the Ramban, the main goal of creation is to be a physical being, right? It makes mitzvahs more real, and therefore the physical beauty, how it affects your physical eyes, right, your feeling of aesthetics, it makes the mitzvah different. Mitzvah, it's a different mitzvah. You're affected by that, both to get a covet for the mitzvah and both to express a covet, to get the covet and to express it, both sides. Okay, nice to think about that a little bit, and next week we'll go into a lot more detail, explain it better.